Well, I mean, the billboard campaign is a 2-week campaign, and the billboards are appearing in various parts of the country. So there's a few dozen of these big 48-sheet billboards, which will be seen by maybe 200,000 people over the 2 weeks. And so I suppose the inspiration for it actually was a campaign I saw in Europe by an amalgamation of groups who petitioned the European Parliament to stop funding embryo research, because embryo research, of course, destroys the embryo. And they said, look, this is one of us. And I thought that was a great phrase. And so I just thought it perfectly encapsulates what the pro-life movement is trying to get across, that the child in the womb, or the fetus, or the baby, or whatever you want to call it, is most certainly a human being and is therefore one of us. It's human like the rest of us, albeit at an earlier stage of development. And so the intention of the poster is simply to make this visible. And we chose 11 weeks because, of course, all the talk is that abortion will be available for any reason and without restriction up to 12 weeks. And people probably still imagine that at 12 weeks, the baby doesn't look like a human being. And anybody can see from that poster, while, you know, the fetus at that age is tiny, it's probably 3 or 4 inches long, it is unmistakably human. And so as to make visible what's actually happening and the reality of the humanness or the humanity of the unborn baby, even at that early stage of development.
And what's been the reaction?
Well, we've had an overwhelmingly positive reaction from people on the pro-life side. That's not necessarily to be expected. I mean, obviously, people on the pro-life side are going to like a pro-life poster, but they mightn't like that particular poster. They mightn't like that particular design or that particular slogan. So the reaction to that slogan and that image has been overwhelmingly positive. We've had only one negative email about it. That's it, which I find kind of remarkable, really. There's been a certain amount of, you know, attacking of it on social media, but even that hasn't come to all that much. The only rational criticism I've come across is, well, the woman is also one of us. But, of course, that's the whole point. Nobody denies that. Nobody denies that the woman is a member of the human race with the same right to life as everybody else. But what's been denied is that the baby in the womb is one of us. And so, again, the purpose of the campaign, and we're going to follow up, by the way, with a second billboard campaign, if we can raise the money to replace the money we spent on the first round, and we're well on our way to doing that. So we spent 20k in the first round, and we'd hope to spend 20 or 30k on the second round in different parts of the country. But the purpose of it, again, is to simply say, this is what we're talking about. This is what we are proposing to withdraw the right to life from. 100% withdrawal of the right to life in the first 12 weeks of its life. And after that, its right to life is still only very provisional, because what's been proposed is after 12 weeks, we have the British law. And the British law permits abortion for so-called mental health grounds. In Britain, there's almost 200,000 abortions every year, and about 97% of them take place for so-called mental health reasons. So people think this is all about the first 12 weeks. It's not. After that, we have the UK law, and the UK law is de facto abortion on demand.
People who would argue against it would say, well, look, you know, there's people travelling anyway, and it's always been this Irish solution to an Irish problem, and that just by preventing abortion here in Ireland isn't going to change the situation. It's just going to make the lives of the women looking for abortions harder.
Well, I mean, you know, whether people have abortions here or in Britain doesn't take away one iota from what the central message of our campaign is, that what's in the womb is one of us. It is a human being like us. The problem is not our law. The problem is Britain's law. Britain's law is monstrous. Britain's law results in 1 in 5 pregnancies every year ending in abortion. And that is a disgraceful figure. That is a national shame for Britain. It is Britain's law that ought to be reformed, not our law. And other ways have got to be found to help people facing crisis pregnancies. Ways a lot more constructive than the deliberate ending of a human life.
Some people would say, well, you know, there's too much emphasis put on people having babies and a pro-birth, but not as much emphasis put on maybe looking at the reasons why women decide not to keep those children, and, you know, that we could put more emphasis on having more childcare and more help and more support for women.
Okay, well, if the thesis that affordable childcare, an outstanding health system, a very generous welfare system reduced the number of unwanted pregnancies, well, then Sweden and Denmark should have very low abortion rates because they are often held up as the model kind of welfare societies. They have universal daycare. It's basically free. They have an abortion rate, in the case of Denmark, as high as Britain's, 1 in 5 abortions. Pregnancies end in abortion every year. Sweden has a higher abortion rate than Britain. And in Sweden, 1 in 4 pregnancies end in abortion every year. This is despite universal daycare and so on, and low levels of poverty compared to many other Western countries. So they still have these incredibly high abortion rates. Ireland, like our abortion rate, even if you take into account the estimate for the number of women who are apparently ordering the abortion pill online, is about 1 pregnancy in 13. Okay, so that is basically a third of the British rate. It's very much lower. And I think the reason it's lower is because we remain a more pro-life culture than the average European country, and we remain still a more pro-family culture, in which children are going to be more welcomed. I mean, we have higher birth rates still. It's low compared to what it used to be, but we still have a higher birth rate than practically any country in Europe. And we don't have universal daycare, but what we do have is strong family support. And I think it's what keeps, you know, despite the numbers who go to Britain and despite the numbers who appear to be buying the abortion pill illegally, it keeps our abortion rate at the lowest level in Europe. And that is something that we ought to be proud of. And we shouldn't be criticising our law. We should be criticising the law in these other countries that have opened the door to an incredibly high number of abortions each year.
And I mean, I suppose the question is maybe why are people ending up going for abortions? You know, I mean, we do live now in an age where contraception and knowledge about our reproductive system is available. And I know there are different arguments about whether people should use contraception or not. But, you know, regardless of how you feel about that, it does seem that should you want to avoid becoming pregnant, there are adequate means there.
Well, you see, I mean, it's a kind of paradoxical thing, because you would expect that in an era of widespread availability of what appears to be effective contraception, you would have a very low demand for abortion, even in countries that permit abortion. I mean, again, if you take the example of Sweden, they have sex education coming out of their ears in school. There's no restrictions at all and no hang-ups about the type of sex education on offer. And in almost every part of Sweden, contraception is available for free up to the age of 25, and yet they still have an abortion rate that's even higher than Britain's of 1 in 4. And I find that to be stunning, really, when you think about it. But contraception frequently fails. I don't take my word for that. I was looking at a poster by the British Pregnancy Advisory Service, that is the biggest abortion provider in Britain, and it shows the failure rate of contraception, and it says that about half of the women who approach it each year for an abortion, it's because their contraception has failed. So they obviously then want an abortion, because abortion then becomes, well, the fail-safe after contraception has failed. Why do they feel they can't have the baby? Well, maybe because they feel that they're not simply set up in life properly for a baby yet. And it's often because they feel that the father of the child won't stand by them, or he himself doesn't want that baby. Or maybe their parents don't want that baby and put pressure on her if she's sufficiently young, or they think the friends might put pressure on them. Because funnily enough, there's an awful lot of rhetoric about the right to choose. But in many cases, the woman will say, I had no choice because I had all these pressures on me, or it was the wrong time and I couldn't possibly have the baby. So we've got to set up a situation whereby she doesn't feel she has no other choice, that she feels there is a better choice than having an abortion. And that would be a key thing to reducing the abortion rate in these countries, which have these horribly high abortion rates.
I suppose, though, I mean, people will still consider, they'll go back to, you know, the right of the woman. And while something is inside of you, is that not within your right to choose and make a decision? And, you know, people often say if men got pregnant, you know, you could get abortion on every corner, you know. You know, that there's a lot of sort of guilt tripping of women.
Nobody's choice rights trump anybody's right to life. I mean, it's as simple as that. I mean, the kind of liberal principle for like 200 years of classical liberal philosophy has been, do what you please so long as it doesn't harm anybody else. In other words, choose what you like and act as you please so long as it doesn't do harm to anybody else. And clearly abortion does do harm to another human being. The only way we get around that is by either saying it's not human, Or I've heard people in debates with me and others say it is human, but it doesn't matter because the right of the woman trumps the right to life of what is undoubtedly a human being. And I think that is an incredibly dangerous path to go down, where in the name of choice we give ourselves permission to kill a particular category of human life, and then the law withdraws protection from human lives in those situations. And that is what our government is proposing to do, to simply withdraw protection from the unborn at practically any stage of his life, because this 12 weeks business is actually a red herring to my mind, because after that is the British style law, and the British style law is essentially mental health reasons in nearly every case under which an abortion takes place, and that's nearly 200,000 abortions a year.